Well, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone. And friends, I believe in being honest about the truth of God's word, and so that's the reason I tell it like it is. No, I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. Friend, I have to stand someday before the judgment seat of Christ, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that most people don't like to hear the truth, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you, and it's your soul that must exist in one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you're not saved and have never been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, then according to God, not according to me, but according to God, in whose hand your very breath is, you'll spend all eternity in the torments of hell and the ultimate lake of fire. And furthermore, friend, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's word today and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee afresh for Thine unspeakable gift. We thank Thee, our God, for Thy great heart of love, Thy mercy and Thy grace that sent Thy Son, Jesus Christ, all the way down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee, Father, for all the value and virtue of His finished work there and the shedding of His precious blood, without which there can be no remission for sin. Now, Father, we ask Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Honor afresh Thy Son, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now let's listen to our hymn for today, and it's entitled, He Hideth My Soul.
Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me bare with His hand. And covers me bare with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. Covered me there with His hand.
Well, friends, today I'd like to direct your attention to some verses of Scripture as we find them in Gospel by Luke. Yes, in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 5. Chapter 5, and I'll begin reading at verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, it's especially for verses 31 and 32 that I've read this portion in your hearing. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His Word. Now, friends, the scripture text which I read for your hearing today is a most familiar one. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He makes a very bold statement of fact. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, this text is also recorded in the other Gospels by Matthew and Mark. And friend, whenever you find a passage recorded by all three of the evangelists, in other words, in the Synoptic Gospels, you can be sure that it is one of the most important truths which Jesus Christ wants to impress upon us that read the Word of God. Now, the occasion for the utterance of these words was when Jesus Christ first came down to Capernaum. He had just been cast out of Nazareth, where they wouldn't have none of him and his salvation. It was at Capernaum that he saw Levi sitting at the seat of customs, and he called him to be one of his disciples. And Levi was so full of joy, as all young converts are, that he arranged a great feast, and he invited all the publicans and sinners to that feast. Friends, I believe he was so happy about his newfound salvation that he wanted to see them all converted, and so he prepared a sumptuous feast, and they all came, not to hear Jesus, but just to partake of the feast that Levi had prepared for them. And it was at this occasion that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, told them that He came to save sinners. Yes, He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was at that feast associating with the publicans and sinners. It was also at this feast that the Pharisees began to murmur against the disciples, saying, Why do these men eat with publicans and sinners? And friend, it was on this occasion that Jesus Christ uttered these wonderful words, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And sinner friend, that's just the reason that He left heaven and came down into this sinful world, to call sinners to repentance. We have this fact reiterated in Luke 19 and 10, when Jesus Christ says that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, some of you may recall the time that Jesus Christ was heading towards the town in Samaria, and His disciples went on ahead to see whether or not He'd be allowed to enter the town. At that time, it seems that there was such a hatred between the Jews and Samaritans that they would have no dealings with each other. And when the Samaritans refused Jesus' entrance into the town, His disciples were so infuriated that James and John asked Jesus to command fire to come down from heaven and to consume them, even as Elias had done. But what does the Son of God say? I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Yes, that was the purpose of His coming, to save the souls of mankind. And there's not a sinner listening in today who cannot be saved if they will only take the place of a sinner in God's sight and accept the cross work of Christ as their only hope for God's heaven. Now, friends, I believe this world in which we live today can be likened unto a great hospital, and all the people in it are born sick. And yet so many people today refuse to believe that they have a diseased soul, and therefore they feel that they do not need a physician or doctor. But, friend, I believe it is about time that people halt their wallowing in the muck and mire of sin. Yes, just long enough to take stock of the fact that their souls are diseased and they do need the healing touch of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet people will never call a doctor until they realize that they're sick. But listen, friend, when a man, with the help of the Holy Spirit's conviction, realizes that he needs Jesus Christ, you can be sure that He is one physician that will come at any time of the day or night. Yes, many of you listening in today were healed of that dread disease called sin, perhaps in the middle of the night, when you accepted Jesus Christ, the Savior of your soul. Now, friend, it doesn't make any difference what your sins may be or how long you've been living in sin. The great physician is just as willing to heal your soul's disease, whether an old or young sinner, whether a rich or poor sinner, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, the doctor is ready to do the healing if you'll acknowledge your need for him. The big problem today is to make people admit that they are spiritually sick, that they are sinners, that they're on their way to hell, that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And yet, my friend, the diagnosis has been made by God Himself. Now then, let's just take a look at the diagnosis which God has made of everyone born into this world. In Romans chapter 3, we read the official report of the spiritual condition of all mankind. Beginning at verse 10, here's what God says. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps or snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then we get down to verses 22 and 23, and there we get the bottom line, the great summation. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friend, that's not a very encouraging picture, I'll admit, but it's the Word of God, and I make absolutely no apology for the Word of God. God says that you are spiritually sick, and that sickness is going to result in your death, both physical and spiritual. As far as physical death is concerned, God tells us over in Romans 5 and 12 that wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Again in Romans 6 and 23 we read, for the wages of sin is death. And friend, as far as spiritual death is concerned, God tells us in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And this spiritual death is further defined in Revelation chapter 20, where we read that those who reject Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, friend, of all the charges that were made against the Son of God while he was here on earth, one of the most frequent was the fact that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it didn't make any difference how big a sinner they were. The Lord Jesus Christ was always ready, willing, and able to meet their need. And sinner friend, I have the authority of God's Word, this book that I hold in my hand, that tells me that He is still anxious to save every sinner in the world today. He pleads with you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there an individual listening in today who has a heart that is burdened by sin? If so, why not come by faith to Jesus Christ right now, just as you are, and He'll forgive you of all your sin and clothe you in the garments of salvation. But I must remind you, my friend, that there's no guarantee that you'll have another opportunity to accept Christ tomorrow. So, friend, I plead with you to acknowledge your sinful condition in the sight of God right now, and then to place your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth from all sin. You know, we're told in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, friend, please don't put it off. I read in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Then in Proverbs 29 and 1, God says, he that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now then, there may be someone listening in today who believes that they're too great a sinner to be saved. Perhaps you've committed some of the vilest sins known to mankind. Well, friend, I've got good news for you. Jesus Christ came from heaven and died on Calvary's cross just to save your soul. Yes, He loves you, sinner friend, and He wants to be your Savior. And He included you in John 3 and 16 when He declared, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means everyone, friend, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever heard better news? No, that's the reason the gospel is called glad tidings. It's good news to the sinner. Now, as you may know, the people who were considered to be the worst sinners in the days of Christ were the tax collectors or publicans. These publicans defrauded the people at every opportunity. The people hated them beyond measure because they took their money, broke up their home, and starvation often entered the house when they went out the door. He was the agent of the Roman tyrant, and the people were brought up shunning him. And yet this is the type of an individual that Jesus Christ died for. That man Zacchaeus over in Luke chapter 19 was a publican, and Jesus Christ told him that he'd come to seek and to save that which was lost. And this man Zacchaeus was saved that day in his house. And you may recall the parable in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus Christ tells us about the two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the most religious type in that day, and the other was a publican, the grossest of sinners. The Pharisee stood and prayed, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And friend, Jesus Christ concluded the parable by saying that the publican went down to his house justified in the sight of God, whereas the self-righteous religious Pharisee still remained under the condemnational wrath of Almighty God. And friend, remember this. God condemns everyone who tries to justify themselves, and likewise, God justifies everyone who condemns themselves. Now then, let us just briefly analyze the various ways that people today are trying to heal themselves of their spiritual sickness. Many, I believe, are depending upon their cultural background to gain them entrance into the kingdom of God. These people boast of their fine heritage and the accomplishments of their progenitors. These people would be shocked to read the truth of Psalm 51:5, where David, the man after God's own heart, said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Job tells us in chapter 14 and verse 4, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Yes, these people would be highly insulted if someone were to tell them that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Yes, these people, my friend, are blinded by culture and pride, and unless they turn from their evil ways and finite reasoning, there is nothing but an eternal hell staring them in the face. All their culture, their refinement, their pride and education will mean absolutely nothing in the flames of hell. Now don't misunderstand me, friend. I'm not saying that because of your cultural background and education, you're going to be in eternal torment. No, that's not the point at all. What I'm saying is that these so-called virtues will never guarantee your entrance into heaven. God's word tells us in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So, friend, if you're depending upon anything apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ to take you into God's heaven, you'll be shocked when you drop into the pit of God's eternal wrath. Now, still another group of people who believe in healing their own spiritual sickness are those who are the modern-day Pharisees. Yes, I'm afraid the sect of the Pharisees never died out. We still have them in every city, town, and hamlet in America today. These people are the leading citizens of the community. They belong to the big church on the corner. They boast that they have over 2,000 on the church rolls, though the church's seating capacity is only about 300. These people may teach in the Sunday school. They may even sing in the choir. They are quick to volunteer for any service for which the church might need them. They might even preach the gospel, my friend. They may be so-called clergy. These people give to the poor and those in distress. And if they should die, the newspapers would no doubt write glowing accounts of their contribution to the local community. But my friend, listen, this isn't salvation. No, this is not salvation at all. In Isaiah 64:6, here's what God says, "For ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Did you hear that? This is God speaking, not me. In Isaiah 64:6, God says, "Ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses," that means good works and religious activity, "are as filthy rags." Over in Ephesians 2:8-9, God says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And you know, friend, I found during my experience as a child of God that these religious people are the hardest people of all to talk to concerning their soul's eternal welfare. They just can't understand how their so-called good works could be classified as filthy rags in God's sight. They keep trying to lift themselves up by their own bootstraps, but they fail to realize that Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is Jesus Christ. They fail to realize that all the doing has been done by Jesus Christ at the place called Calvary. Yes, I read where Jesus Christ cried out in John 19 and 30, "It is finished. It is finished." Friend, he had accomplished the work that God had given him to do, and that was to die for the ungodly that he might bring us back to God. Now, another class of people who believe in doctoring their own illnesses are those who are dependent upon rituals to take them to heaven. These people are firm believers in the confirmation, dedication, and baptism of children. They wouldn't think of missing a communion observance either. And little do they realize that rituals have absolutely nothing to do with the salvation of the soul. Many in this category believe that baptism is an absolute prerequisite to God's way of salvation. My friend, nothing could be further from the truth. If baptism or other such rituals could save your soul, then tell me, why did Jesus die? Why did the Son of God die the agonizing death of a cross? If your soul and my soul could be saved by the baptismal waters or any other such religious ritual, my friend, please, please don't relegate the blood of Jesus Christ to a secondary position. I read over there in Exodus chapter 12 where God says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And it's the same today, my friend. Only those who by faith apply the blood of Jesus Christ to their sin-sick soul are ever going to be in God's heaven. I read in 1 John 1 and 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Back there in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 5, here's what we read. "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood." You notice it doesn't say anything about being washed of our sin in the baptismal font. No, "unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood." Now, before I'm misquoted, let me hasten to say that as far as baptism and the Lord's table are concerned, I believe in them 100%. They're scriptural, but in the right place. Friend, nowhere do we read in the Bible where rituals are a means of salvation. And yet I believe there are millions of souls down in hell today who are crying for the water in which they were baptized. My friend, let me ask you right now, what is the condition of your spiritual health? Are you lost or are you saved? Are you on the broad road to hell or are you on the narrow road to heaven? Have you ever been born again? Friend, has there ever been a time when, a place where, and a manner how, you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life? Do you have a desire to read the Word of God? Do you like to commune with God in prayer? If not, my friend, then you had better examine yourself in the light of Scripture to ascertain whether or not you've got the root of the matter within you. You know, many people today are laboring under a false profession and have never been born again by the Spirit and Word of God. Friend, make sure that you're really saved. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to think all your life that you were on your way to heaven, and then when it came to the day of your death, you dropped into the flames of hell? Friend, make sure. Make sure. Now, in conclusion, let us return to our text for just a moment and read again the words of Jesus Christ when he says, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Friend, I believe there's someone listening in today who is spiritually sick. If so, call on Jesus Christ, the great physician. Is there someone listening in today who will acknowledge that they're a sinner? If so, call on Jesus Christ, who bare your sins in his own body on the tree. And friend, if you're ever going to be in God's heaven, you'll have to come by the way of the cross. In John 14 and 6, Jesus Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, friend, the decision is entirely up to you. There's only one way to be sure of going to heaven, and that is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. However, this acceptance of Jesus Christ must follow your heartfelt need of a Savior. I've said this many times before, and I say it again, and I do so with all degree of reverence. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, my friend, you'll never be saved till you realize you're lost and perishing in your sin. So, friend, right now, as this program of the gospel comes to a close, why not acknowledge before God that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died? Admit that you can't do anything to save your own soul. And then, my friend, look by faith to Calvary, and there see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, bearing away your sin in His own body on the tree. Friend, that's what salvation's all about. It's a question of believing God. And if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord today, according to this book that I hold in my hand, the Bible, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father and God, we again bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee that Thou didst love us so much, that Thou didst send Thy Son into the world to die for us at Calvary. And our God, we thank Thee for the opportunity we've had today of exalting Thy Son as the only Savior of sinners. We ask Thy blessing upon Thy Word. We claim Thy promise that it shall not return void. Save souls to His honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you have any questions relative to God's salvation, I'll be glad to answer them from the Word of God alone. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.